Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you glory and honor today. And Father God, we thank you for the opportunity today to come to you and to come to your presence. We thank you that your word says that Jesus has made a new and living way by his blood. He made it possible for us to call you Father, to call you our Abba, Daddy, Father God. We thank you for that. We thank you that because of the blood, we can enter into your presence in a special way and in a particular way. We thank you that because of the blood that we're here today celebrating all that that's about in this water baptism, Father God. I pray that you would open up the eyes of our understanding. I pray that every person here would see Jesus in everything that we do. I pray, Father God, that those that may not know you will see that you are here in our midst, Lord God. I pray that those that are away from you, though they've known you, will be pricked in their heart and they'll realize that Jesus has a plan for their lives and they need to begin to get into that plan. I pray for those of us that have been faithful to you, Father God, will be filled up and overflowing, Father God, that we'll be further established and solid in our lives and in our faith. Father God, I pray that there be something for everyone today as you open up the scriptures to us and help us see things that perhaps we've never seen before. We thank you and depend upon you 100%. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise God. Go ahead and be seated if you would. And if you have a Bible with you, and if you don't have one with you, if you look up, look on to your neighbor, maybe smile at him or whatever, they'll let you look on with them. But I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you have one, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is going to be our main text. I will have some PowerPoint. I don't have handouts for you because I didn't know, I knew it couldn't take real long today. And if I have handouts, there's always that pressure of getting through those handouts. And so it's not wise to do it on Baptism Sunday. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to begin. And I'm going to read it from the Bible that you have. I'll read it from mine, and you can follow in the Bible that you have, and then we're going to look at it from another passage as well. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14, are you with me? It says this, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died." Say, all died. I want you to take note and think about some of the things that we're reading in this passage. Notice now, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says this, that the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus that if one died, who's the one that died? Jesus did. If one died for all, or in the stead of all, or on behalf of all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to just look up at the first thing said here. The title of the message is, "The old is gone, the new has come." The old is gone, the new has come. And in a nutshell, that is what water baptism is celebrating. It is celebrating the fact that the old life, the old way, the old you has been dispensed of in that sense. And now there is a new you through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And as we read in that passage of Scripture, it talked about the fact that if one died for all, then all died. He died for every living person. Those that are alive today, those that ever have lived, and those that ever will. He died in our and their stead. Is that not right? Amen. And so, if that be the case, as the writer says, if one died for all, then all died. If you're a Christian today, say, I died. You did die. You died from the old life. You died to sin. We're going to see some of these things from the Word of God in a few moments, because it is a liberating, powerful thing that we're going to be dealing with today. And it's all really depicted in water baptism, and has, again, some powerful things that we're going to experience. Look up at the big screen, if you will, and let's define the word baptism first of all. The word baptism or baptized means to cover wholly with a fluid. It means to stain or dip as with a dye. Now, let me just stop there for a minute. You know, it was used in the old ancient Greek culture, this word baptizo, if you will. It was used in order to describe what happens when a cloth is dipped into dye. How many of you know when a cloth is dipped into dye, that dye is absorbed by the cloth and it changes the characteristic of that cloth? There is something that changes when a cloth is dipped into dye. And I submit to you, when you and I are baptized in whatever way, and we're going to deal deal with two ways today, what water baptism represents as well as water baptism. But when we are baptized, there is a change. Everybody say a change. Amen. And so, just like or in a similar way, to stain or dip as we die, when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, and thus we celebrate that and depict that by water baptism, there is a change that we are celebrating as well. Then going on with this, it is also that original Greek word was used of the smith, the blacksmith, if you will, tempering the red hot steel. And so he's tempering it, he's dipping the steel into the fire, causing it to get hot, causing it to be able to be formed and molded and changed. Isn't that right? Yes. Amen. Going on with the next frame. It is used of dyeing the hair. Some of you folks can relate to that. Of a ship that dipped or sank. All right, that word, that original word, baptizo, a ship that dipped or sank. When the ship was to sink, it's the same idea as to be immersed, same idea and the same original word as to baptize. And so when a ship is dipped or sank, has a literal and a figurative meaning in the New Testament. The literal meaning is to submerge, to dip, or immerse as in water. And so, what you will not see today, based on the meaning of the word baptized, is you'll not see anybody sprinkled. How many of you were sprinkled as a child? I was sprinkled. I was sprinkled real good. I was sprinkled as a child. It's not going to involve pouring. It's going to involve full submersion, full immersion into the water. Amen? Because that's the Bible way that we would do that and we would understand that. In fact, you know where that word baptized came from? It is really a transliteration from the Greek. Because King James, how many of you remember King James? Some of you might still have a King James Bible with all the whithersoevers and, thou's these and whatsoevers and all those things, all right? And so King James, he wanted a translation in English. And yet he told those translators a very important thing. He said, don't you translate anything in this translation that's going to contradict the doctrine of the church. And so they come across this thing called baptizo or baptism or baptize. And the theologians that are trying to translate this, wait a minute, this means submerge and immerse, and in the church we sprinkle or pour. And so we're not going to translate that word the way it was originally meant. We'll just change that Greek word into an English word and poof, we have a new word called baptism or baptize. It caused them not to have the problems that they would have had. How many of you know that that's not really being credible? That's not really being honest with the word. Isn't that right? All right? And so it literally means to submerge or to dip or to immerse as in water. Let's go to the next frame. All right, water baptism. Now get this, water baptism is a natural way to bring forth a spiritual truth. Before you are water baptized, you must be spiritually baptized into Jesus Christ. Now remembering the definition of that word baptized, it means to submerge, to immerse. It means to be dipped into. It also means to simply be placed into. And so this idea of baptized into Jesus Christ, to be immersed in Jesus Christ, to be submerged, to be placed into Jesus Christ. And so before you're placed into water, in water baptism, it is of necessity that you already have been placed into Jesus Christ by exercising faith in what he has done for you. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at Romans chapter 6, if you will. Turn in your Bibles there, if you would. Is everybody doing all right? Romans chapter 6, and we're going to start reading at verse 1. We'll not read all the way through verse 18, but let's start at verse 1. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, it says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not," verse 2 says. "How shall we who died to sin," everybody say died to sin, speaking to believers, and so he's speaking to you and me as well, "how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus," there it is, baptized, immersed, submerged, if you will, dipped into, placed into Christ Jesus, "do you not know that when you were baptized, immersed, submerged, dipped into his death?" All right, now, we'll continue on with this thought. Reading on now, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. All right, now let's go to the next frame. Let's see something that a theologian had to say about this particular passage, especially verses 3 through 10. We didn't read it all. This is from Dr. John MacArthur. Now, some of you have heard of Dr. John MacArthur. I want you to know, just because I quote someone does not mean that I agree with everything they say. That was a weak response, but... All right, John MacArthur has some good things to say, but there are definitely some areas that we would differ on. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? But yet, you know what I am, and I think you ought to be the same way. You ought to be like an old cow. And when you come up to eat, you ought to eat the hay and leave the sticks behind. Isn't that right? And so you know what? You don't have to say, well, I'm only eating if it all looks good. No, eat the good part, leave the bad behind. Same thing. Whenever you're reading, get the good, get what you can receive, and leave behind that which you can't. And you know, one thing I found out is sometimes what I think is sticks, I set it up on the shelf, and I find out later that actually was edible after all. But because my growth had not been where it was, I wasn't able to receive it then. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, so sometimes you don't just throw it out, you just set it on the shelf and save it for later, and you'll find out that over time, that truth didn't change, you changed, you were better able to receive and understand it. Isn't that right? I believe the truths of the Bible are a lot like mathematics. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you know, and you know, I'm studying algebra with my daughter a little bit now. I tell you one thing, they have changed algebra. Algebra is not the same as it used to be. They have changed it. They've done something with it. But anyway, I know for a fact if you tried to do algebra before you learned addition and subtraction, you would be lost. Isn't that right? Or if you don't learn the basics before you begin to study trigonometry or calculus or geometry or whatever, if you don't learn the basics first, how many of you know this knowledge of mathematics and virtually any kind of knowledge builds upon itself? Isn't that right? You've got to learn certain things first before you can begin to comprehend the more advanced things. Same thing is true of the things of God. Many times we want to understand the calculus of God and we don't even have our addition and subtraction down yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen? And so sometimes just set it on a shelf and save it for later and praise God. Sometimes you'll see it. Sometimes you'll get to the conclusion you were right the first time and it's not right. It's not in line with Scripture. And that's fine as well. But be willing to learn from any Christian that's a credible individual, right? And the Holy Spirit in you can tell. I've learned from, you know, we're not Baptists, but I learn a lot from Baptists. How about you? I mean, I can learn from Methodists. I can learn from Luther. I can learn from those folks. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, if they've got Scripture and they can, I've learned from different people. And that's okay. That's a good thing, right? And again, just be like that old cow that eats the hay and leaves the sticks behind. All right, that was just extra. That won't cost you a thing. Let's read what Dr. John MacArthur says. He says this: many people interpret Paul's argument in Romans 6, 3 through 10 as referring to water baptism, and I can attest to that fact. Many, and theologians as well, will read Romans 6, 3 through 10, and they'll automatically think, because it refers to baptism into Christ Jesus, baptized into his death, they automatically think when they hear the word baptism or baptized, they automatically think water, don't they? But that is not the truth. That is not accurate. In fact, we may go there later, but just as a side note, Hebrews 6, 1 through 2, when it talks about the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ, it talks about the doctrine of baptisms in the plural, doesn't it? And so that denotes there's more than one kind of baptism, and so we must get out of our minds that baptism in water is the only kind of baptism the Bible talks about, because it does not. It is not. All right, now, John MacArthur says this, as referring to water baptism, however, Paul is simply using the physical analogy of water baptism to teach the spiritual reality of the believer's union with Christ. Water baptism is the outward identification of an inward reality faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Paul was not advocating salvation by water baptism. That would have contradicted everything he had just said about salvation by grace and not works in Romans 3 through 5, which has no mention of water baptism. And so, the idea that I want to come across to you is the fact that there is a baptism into Christ, a spiritual baptism that we must enter into before we're ever water baptized. And that water baptism is simply an outward analogy of a living reality that is on the inside of us after having come to Christ. Amen? Is everybody following me in this? Amen. And there's power in this. That does not take away from the power of water baptism. Because we'll see in a little while some of the aspects about how powerful an experience it really is. And many of you that have been water baptized, you can testify of what it did for your solidity in your faith, solidity in your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go on from here and see some other things quickly before we move on into the actual baptism. All right, let me make mention of this. This idea of baptism or baptized into Christ Jesus could have been understood and translated as being immersed into Christ to be, and this is another meaning of baptism I didn't mention, the idea of being saturated, to be saturated in Christ, right? And that happened when you and I surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. We were placed into Him. We were placed and joined, as it says up there, in union with Christ, right? In union with Jesus Christ. And that is what we're celebrating, even in this water baptism. We're celebrating our union with Jesus Christ. Our being saturated in Him. Us being immersed into Jesus Christ. That is what we are celebrating in all of this. Now, we mentioned the fact that you were died with Christ. Let's look at some scriptures to back it up. You can write those down if you'd like to. The next frame. First, I forgot about this guy. This guy's good too. Again, I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but he's got some good things. Notice, when used in the New Testament, this word baptizo more often refers to our union and identification with Christ than to our water baptism. Mere intellectual assent is not enough. There must be a union with Him. And he gave the analogy prior to this, but I didn't put it all on here. A real change like the vegetable to the pickle. All right? And the idea is, how many of you know that a pickle is a cucumber that's been immersed? Right? A pickle is a cucumber that has been saturated in vinegar or whatever. Vinegar, right, ladies? Thank you very much. All right? And so that cucumber has been immersed and saturated, submerged in that. And how many of you know that cucumber, after having been submerged, goes through a change, doesn't it? It goes through a change, and that pickle will never be a mere cucumber again. Amen. Well, you and I, when we were immersed into Jesus Christ, when we were submerged in Him, there was a change that took place. Amen. And that person, you and I, having been immersed into Christ, will never be the same again. And that is what we're celebrating in this. Amen. That is what we're celebrating in all of this. Let's go to the next frame here. And we have, again, we have Galatians 2:20 from the Amplified Bible. I have been, this is Paul speaking, but it applies to every believer. I have been crucified with Christ. In Him, I have shared His crucifixion. Remember our text, our opening text. The idea, if one died for all, then all have died. If one died for all, then all have died. I have been crucified with Christ. In Him, I have shared His crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by adherence to, and reliance on, and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. And so the idea again, we were crucified with Christ. In Christ we died. When Christ died some 2,000 years ago, the Heavenly Father saw you and me on that cross. We are identified with what He did. He saw all of humanity on the cross because Jesus Christ represented all of humanity and died in humanity's stead. The Bible talks about a first Adam and a last Adam. The first Adam, obviously, we know of. And he's the one who got us into this mess. That first Adam was also a representative of the entire human race. And the Bible says in Romans 5, in verse 17, that in Adam all died. That in Adam sin was passed on and death by sin. Through Adam, all of that took place. But thank God it didn't stop with the first Adam. There was a last Adam. There were two representatives of the human race. One, the first Adam, who got us in to the mess we're in. And then the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who got us out. Thank God. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, you know, really, the way that you get out is not by works that you've done. You can't earn your way out. No, if you were born by way of Adam, and all of us were in our humanity, we came as a direct descendant of Adam. All of us are. Amen. Right? And so if you're born of Adam, no matter what generation you are removed from him, how many of you know that all the works you do, everything you try to accomplish will never get you out or have that broken from your life, that curse, that sin, that death broken from your life, unless you turn and repent, go the other way, and said, I'm joining myself to the last Adam. I am no longer in union with the first. No, I repent and turn and receive forgiveness. And I join myself to the last Adam, and he has set me free. Amen? Amen. 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 And so that's why the Bible says, if any man, as we read in our opening text, if any man or woman, mankind, be in Christ. No longer in Adam, in Christ. Behold, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Aren't you glad? Yes. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Let's look at the next passage. I hope you're getting something out of this. This is something every Christian, no matter how many times you've heard it, you need to hear it again. You need to hear what Jesus did for you again. You need to be freer than you were before by knowing what he's done. He said, you shall know the truth if you continue my word, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Colossians 3, 3 and 4 says this, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So again, for you died. Say, I died. Amen. And of course, we know it's depicted when each one is baptized in water. And as they go down into the water, it is depicting the fact that they died and were buried with Christ. But thank God they don't stay there. They come back up and they're raised unto a new life. That is what it depicts, right? Now, let's go on with some other things with this and we'll get ready here, all right? I want you to note some things. In Romans 6, I'm not going to have us read it right there, but I want you to notice the repetitive idea of the fact that we died just from Romans 6. Notice verse 2, we who died to sin. Verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Verse 5, we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Verse 6, our old man was crucified with him. Next frame. Number 5, he who has died is freed, margin, or cleared from sin from verse 7. 6, we died with Christ, it says again in verse 8. Verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 11. And then verse 13. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Amen. Well, repeatedly, God wants to get something across to us that we died to the old self. We died to the old person, didn't we? When we accepted Christ, the old Jay died. The old miserable, ungodly, you know what I'm saying, right? The old, hating people guy, that old one died. He died with Christ. Isn't that right? And the old you died with Christ. That was on the cross. See, everything you were, everything you are, was nailed to that cross in Jesus Christ. Your punishment for everything you've done wrong was nailed to that cross. Your judgment that was due you because of your sin was nailed to that cross so that you could be forgiven. So in that sense, you already died because you died in Christ. Your sin's been paid for. My sin's been paid for. And that's good news. Amen. That's good news. Hallelujah. But notice in Romans 6 and verse 4, it says this, therefore we were buried together, buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's resurrection life. That's resurrection life. And there's many other scriptures. Let's just look at these quickly now. Let's look up on the big screen. Notice what it says in Colossians 2, 11 through 13. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Now circumcision spiritually means the flesh, the power of sin in the flesh has been cut off from you. You follow what I'm saying? All right, not talking natural, we're talking about spiritual. There's been something happen in your heart, a circumcision of the heart, where the power of the flesh, the power of sin has been broken in your life, and you receive that and act that out by faith. Will you sin after receiving Christ? We do. We do. Thank God there's provision for that by confessing and repenting again. But thank God we don't have to. We have the right to fight the temptation to sin because its power has been broken. In Jesus' name. Amen? All right. And so in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Say, I'm alive. Say, I died, but now I'm alive. And that life is the life of Christ on the inside. Amen. Amen. So a new life. Remember Galatians 2:20. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He doesn't end it with, we were crucified with Christ. He ends it with, now you're made alive with a new life. And as we read in Romans 6, that we might walk in newness of life. And in that newness of life, there's a plan for every person. God has a plan for you. One thing that came to me and became so real to me when I was a young man, a boy, 17 years old, when I really surrendered to God. And one thing that became so real to me is God has a plan for me. And that resonated in my being. It wasn't the plan I had, but God had a plan for me. And there was a renewed desire in my heart to fulfill that plan. And you know, in essence, with water baptism, what one is saying when they're going under and coming up, they're saying, from this day forward, I commit to fulfilling God's plan for my life. This can be a place where we're making a mark in the sand, as it were. We're saying that from this day forward, I'm truly living. I am making an obligation. I'm making a commitment now. From this day forward, this is my point of reference. This day that I am immersed in this water, this is my point of reference, that from that day forward, I will fulfill God's plan for my life. As He reveals it to me. Amen? Amen. It's a time for a demarcation, if you will. It's a time for drawing the line in the sand. I'm not going my way anymore. I'm going His way from this day forward. Are you hearing me here today? Amen. Let's go to the next frame. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ. Again saying, we were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And so now, as we have already had this happen spiritually, and now, as it's depicted by way of water baptism, we are saying that I've been raised together with Christ, and from this day forward, I'm going to seek the things of Christ. I'm going to seek the things of Christ for my life. And you know, He's got a better plan than you had anyway. That was a weak amen, but I'll say it again. He has a better plan than you have anyway. Isn't that right? Amen. His plan is better. His plan is better. Go on to the next frame. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, it says, do you not know? Now, let's talk about just for a minute here. What are some of the old things that have passed away? Here's some of the old things that have passed away. He said old things, really denoting all old things have passed away. Do you not know? Now, He's speaking to the Corinthians, but it applies to you and me. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. He said, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. What's He say? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what He said. That's the Bible. But notice now, the good news to the Corinthians and to you and me. And such were. Everybody say, that's past tense. He said, and such were some of you. In other words, Paul, by the Spirit of God, he gives the bad news. He tells you what you used to be. But then here comes the good news. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Isn't that good news? Amen. And so no matter what is of old, no matter what is in that old life, thank God such were some of them, such were some of us. But thank God we've been washed. Thank God for the blood. Amen? And justified and made right. Notice the next passage, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, real quickly now. These are some of the things, no matter what is in our old life, thank God the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to wash it away. Amen? And so if your thing or your sins were not found in that previous list, don't worry about it. He covered it all. And remember, in Christ, old things have passed away. Passed away. That's one way we say it died, isn't it? That old stuff died. Somebody brings it up to you and says, well, remember when you did that? I'm sorry, that guy died. Now, they're going to look like, you know, you like you're crazy. But that's all right. They'll understand, really, probably. All right? No, you remember when you used to do this? No, I'm sorry. That guy died. He died. And when your mind begins to torment you, it begins to get you under condemnation, making you think that you're not worthy to pray or to lift your hands or to worship God, and your mind all of a sudden begins to remember some of the things that you did before you knew Christ or the things you did on your way to church. How many of you know there's forgiveness and His blood washes even today? Amen? And you just remember, you just say, no, the old man died. The old man died, right? Let's go on here. Let's look at some of the new things. It says, then He who sat on the throne said, this is Jesus. Behold, I make all things new. Aren't you glad? And so we're celebrating old things having passed away. And we're celebrating all things now have become new because Jesus said, I make all things new. Notice the next couple of frames here quickly. Notice all the news in the Word of God. The new birth, the new creation, the new man. And notice from the Amplified Ephesians 4:24, it says, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. The new man, the new person in Christ that we've been made. Notice number 4, it says we can now speak in new tongues if we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 5, we live under a new law, a new command, the commandment of love. 6, He's provided a new and living way whereby we can come before Him with confidence in prayer and worship. And 7, there is coming the new heavens and the new earth where we will live with Him forevermore. Amen? Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Say He makes all things new. Praise God. I want us to just watch this video for a minute, and then we're going to prepare ourselves to witness some baptisms. And the ushers, maybe you can go get grades 1 through 6 and tell them we're about ready. They're going to come in and witness this, okay?
Today,
I tell my friends,
my family,
the world,
that the old Adam,
the old Jimmy,
the old Crystal is dead. I have been buried with Christ.
My sin is gone, nailed to the cross,
and paid for
by the blood of
my Savior,
of my Jesus. Today, I declare
that by God's relentless,
unfailing grace,
I am forgiven.
I am free.
I am new.
Amen. That's in a nutshell. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If I could get a couple of ushers to come and take the lid off of this, and I'll get myself prepared. This is the only time that in Abounding Grace anybody sees me wearing a robe. If it was up to me, I'd wear blue jeans and a flannel shirt probably every time I was up here. I guess it is up to me, but... Praise God. Now, this morning, there's a couple of people that are going to be baptized by our youth minister, Josh Hughes. One is his daughter, and one is one of the young men that he's had a great influence on. All right? Just know that ahead of time. But we're going to begin with Barbara, because she's sitting on my left. And so, you never know this unless they've seen this before, but whoever's sitting on my left, to the extreme, they always go first. All right. Amen. So I'm going to give everybody, and they can deny it. Most might not want to do this because it's not easy speaking in front of other people. I know that by experience. But I'm going to give everyone a chance to testify or share what the Lord has done. Barbara, would you like to say anything before you are baptized? It's totally up to you. Is that a no? Is that a yes or no? No? All right. All right. I'm just going to steady you just to make sure.
Oh, it's nice and warm.
Yep. Now, if you just turn around and sit down right there. All right, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And you're just going to repeat that prayer, and then I'll give you more instruction, okay? Mm-hmm. Just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
I thank you.
For saving me.
For forgiving me.
For forgiving me.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
And by faith.
And by faith.
And with your help.
And with your help.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I will live for you.
I will live for you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now if you just hold your nose with one hand and your wrist with the other one. Barbara, according to your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His authority, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, and raised to newness of life.